Hello, and welcome back to Goat Homeschooling with Erin and Amanda. Today, we are going to touch on a couple different topics that I know all of us homeschoolers struggle with, or maybe we don't. Maybe it's just me. You know, those things like summer field trips, plans for summer, your breaks, or how do you store all of this stuff? That's my biggest struggle, honestly, is how do I store all the books? You know, things of that nature. So we're going to hit on a couple of those today and hopefully bring you some encouragement that if you're on the struggle bus, like we are in some areas, I don't know. I'm speaking so much for you, Amanda.
No, Amanda, you're right. Scott. You're right. I'll let you know if you're misspeaking, you're fine. But yeah, I mean, we're not all hoarders. You know, I mean, if we have our things organized decently, then we don't look like hoarders anyway. Right.
Right. It's organized chaos. What it is.
Yeah.
So that's our episode today. We are going to talk on those things.
Welcome to Goat Homeschooling with Erin and Amanda. I'm Erin.
And I'm Amanda.
This is the podcast to encourage moms that have been at this homeschooling gig longer than 5 years and plan on sticking with it through the high school years. The long haulers, as we like to say. We want to help you have the greatest of all time homeschool that meets the needs of your family by encouraging you with real conversations on the issues that pop up as you've been in this homeschool lifestyle for years.
So it'll be fun to try and see if there's people out there that need the encouragement and if there's anything that we can do to help others as they get started on their journey. That'd be awesome. That's what we're here for.
What's the thing that's pressing for you?
Probably storage. You know, IKEA is a huge blessing when it comes to storage. I have 5 bookshelves in my schoolroom that were like $49 or maybe even cheaper than that bookshelves from IKEA. And they have lasted us a long time. And I have my books are all divided up by subject. And so it looks messy, but it is organized. And so I can, if I'm looking for this particular subject, then I can just go straight to those shelves and I know what I'm looking for. Having art supplies and science stuff, though, those are hard storage things for me, though. I just have cubbies that I just throw things in and that's chaotic. But yeah, the shelves are great. I love shelves. But so I think that there's better ways to organize things, too.
You think, okay, so your system is mainly focused on subject organization by subject.
Right.
So you've got a lot of bookshelves. What about rolly carts? Because I've got a couple of those and I do throw stuff in there, but then I forget. And then I forget to label them. And so, you know, yesterday I'm looking for glue and there should be a spot for glue, right? But I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I have a couple of drawers. You know, those little, back in the early 2000s or late 90s, we had these plastic colored drawers that were these little drawers. There was only like 3 of them. Did you ever have any of those?
Just this like sits have on a table.
They could even sit on the floor or hang on the wall. They're just little plastic and they have drawers in them. And that's where I have like markers and crayons and colored pencils and scissors and glue and tape and all that kind of crud. And then I do have one rolly cart that's just like the bearer of all things that don't have any other places to go.
The mega junk drawer.
It's the mega junk drawer, but it's a rolly cart that it looks cute, except for when you look inside of it, you know, from the outside, like looking at the rolly cart itself, it's cute. It's like a Target rolly cart, but inside it's awful. It's very unorganized.
You don't have like mini divider trays in each of them and they're properly labeled with your label maker. You know, I do have a label maker and my children have confiscated it to use for their own labeling needs. So I have not used it nearly as much as them and probably would need help from them explaining how it is used. But
I do have a label maker and I absolutely love it. And I get made fun of for the way that I use it. So it hangs on the side of my refrigerator and I will label things in the kitchen and I label
like obvious things like forks or...
I should do that just to annoy my family.
Oh goodness. Yeah. So I have a big rolly cart that's like a rainbowy one. And I got it, I think at Michael's when they had like 50% off sale for their organization bins. And I've used it a couple different ways. You know, I think at the beginning of the homeschooling journey, I was looking into the whole like, you know, I'm not even remembering what the term is right now, but where you basically have files for each of the kids. Mm-hmm. And then like each drawer has a subject they pull out each day. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little above and beyond what I was willing to do.
Yeah. So I got it organized that first week, and then I'm like, this is not working very well. Mm-hmm. So I dumped everything and started fresh and like put math manipulatives and rulers and colored paper, that kind of thing. But I'm a very visual person. So if I don't see something out, I don't use it. Right. And to my husband's chagrin, that's why I have piles all over the house with homeschool stuff, because mm-hmm. we don't have a dedicated homeschool room like you guys do. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you maintain the clutter to the homeschool room, or do you feel like it ekes out the doors to the other
rooms? It's kind of interesting. We just changed our guest room, was shared with my husband's office for a long time. And then we redid things because here he was with his desk in the corner of his office. And then there was this large guest bed in there that's used once every 6 weeks or something. And so we moved it to the school room. And so we had a new desk put in, since I only have one child left. So we have a double desk for he and I, and then we have a guest bed in there. And so the guest bed is a place where things land. Mm-hmm. So, and generally speaking, if we have people coming, like my in-laws, for instance, when they're coming to visit, usually we would use the school room to toss all the stuff into in preparation. So the rest of the house looks clean, right?
It's your Monica closet.
Right. It's my Monica closet. But now I can't do that because that's where they're sleeping, right? So that has to be a place that's also clean in addition mm-hmm. to the rest of the house. And so it ends up being my bedroom that gets,
oh no,
because they don't go to our bedroom. So
yeah,
it's hard to figure out where that club, because there's so many papers that you're currently, you know, in the midst of working with, or mm-hmm. you're reading a book, or you're, I don't know, different projects that you're doing. And so you don't want to put those things away. So there needs to be like an intermediary purgatory place.
Yes.
For things that you're not working at right this second, but it's not to be filed completely away, but it can be a place of rest and where it can just be sat for a little while and then regained whenever you're ready for it. And that's mm-hmm. difficult. Like, that's hard to a purgatory bookshelf somewhere that you
put right. It's almost like homeschoolers, I feel like, have three work areas. They have the area of storage of used curriculum, used, you know, bins that are holding your kids' treasures from kindergarten, you know, all the boxes mm-hmm. of the things you've already done or accomplished. So that's area one, is the used to be stuff. And then like the current stuff that you're right. using, you know, I have a shelf downstairs that has all of our current books, the things that I'm using or pulling from this semester. And then I have the stuff that we're currently in process, like project space. So I feel like there's like three different storage areas that we have as homeschoolers. And I don't do any of them well. Like, we just got this huge, I think it's Kallax system from IKEA, you know, the huge multi-cubby. I think it's got like 25 cubbies. Well, it's totally full because I have all my books there. And mm-hmm. and now I'm in the process of ordering books for next year. And so right. I'm like telling my husband, I'm going to need another shelf. And he's like, you're really going to need to get rid of stuff. And so this is the poll every year. And I'm a bibliophile myself. I love books. I'm never going to get rid of a book. So we just really need more shelving. And I've been looking, but they're out of stock at our local IKEA on some of the shelves that I want. So I will persevere and I will find those shelves at some point. But yeah, I feel like what ends up happening for me anyway, is I have like a dining room table down in our basement where I've moved all of our school stuff, which that's another thing we're working on, is transitioning all of our schooling to downstairs in the basement, because, you know, I do get kind of, I don't know, twitchy if I'm in too much clutter. I like at least some spaces of my home to be very minimalist and very calming.
It's a hard balance, man, to have this, is. You know, hoarding section and then a minimalist section, you know, they people know. Think you have multiple personalities or something.
Multiple homeschool personalities. Yes. There's the minimalist me at the end of the year when I'm like, just chuck it all. We're just done. And then there's like the new curriculum me that's buy all the books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you do have a storage space in your basement. So maybe like having, like I do too, where, you know, the old art projects from the kids when they were little, then I would, even when my kids were in public school, I would have tubs that I would buy with the locking lids, and I would label it, you know, with the kid's name and what year it was, and put all of their school crap in there for the year, and then stick it on a shelf in the garage or in the basement. So I have several of those. And then when they, as they get older, and we can kind of go back into it and sort it out. But I kind of have always felt like it's not my stuff to get rid of, it's theirs. And so I hold on to it until they're old enough to sort through it. Like with my oldest, I did that. I pulled out his tub and I said, here's your tub. You pick out what you want. You know, what you want that I need to keep, that you want me to keep, what you want that you want to keep, and then things that you don't care about and that we can throw away. And that kind of scales it down. I mean, even their teeth, which is really bad, but like, I still have, all, this is my mother in me. When my mom was dying, she was in the living room, right? And I had to go pick out the clothes that she would wear in her casket. And I opened her underwear drawer to get out pantyhose and things for her. And I found my wisdom teeth.
Oh no.
So they were like, you know, in this container that they had been in for what, 20 something years. And I was laughing about that and kind of making fun of my mom. Like it was a comedic relief at the time, big stress reliever. And we were all laughing about it. And I still laugh about it, but I do the same thing. Like, you know, you have all those years of tooth fairy. And I'm like, it's not my tooth. I can't in good conscience throw away someone else's things. So when they're old enough, they can go through. And then of course they make fun of me. Like, mom, why do you have this? This is really sad of you to keep this, but it's not mine to throw away. They can throw it away. Right.
Like, that is so funny.
It's taking it to the extreme.
Yes. But I have a child that keeps his own teeth in his room in a jar. I would have been like, get rid of that. And then I have another child who's like, yeah, I pulled my tooth earlier. I threw it away. Like, there's no evidence other than the hole in his mouth that he lost his tooth. So yeah, I agree. Yeah. So funny.
But it's hard to know what's, you know, what to throw away and what not to throw away, especially as homeschoolers, because there are certain things that we need to keep according to our law, our state law. And so I have binders. And once we started homeschooling, I would take out certain art projects or whatever from the pile and include that in our records. But then the rest of it, I would still keep in a tub, you know? So if I ever was asked, I'd have the notebook of all the documents, all the documented things. And then I still have the tub because I still don't feel right throwing those things away. And there are so many parents that are like, no, we just toss it. I didn't want that game. They love that game. And I don't want that game. And we're going to throw it away. Well, I feel like it's just no judgment, but I feel like for me, that's not mine to do. And so my kids ended up being, and my youngest had an issue for a long time about, he believed that toys had feelings. And so he would never, even if it was broken, he would never throw it away. And I didn't want to scar him and make him do it or go into his room and get rid of things without him there or whatever. Now that he's 13, he will say that it was Toy Story that made him think that.
Oh, that's
so funny. Watching Toy Story, and then all of a sudden he believed that all of his toys come to life. And so he ends up looking like a hoarder, but now he can go into his room and he can sort thing, you know, if you want to have your room look a certain way, then you need to go in there and scale things down and, you know, think of ways that we can organize that or whatever. But man, that's a hard balance.
It is. And I'm the opposite. When my kids were little, I'm like, yes, nap time. We're taking all this to the Goodwill and we're done. So, but I have scaled back because, and you know, I really wouldn't get rid of all of the things. It would be mostly just stuff that they literally never touched, not their favorite of something. But when I was growing up, we were a military family. So we moved a ton and we always had to get rid of a lot of our toys. So I don't have very many things from my childhood. So I actually do have a closet that has all of the toys from when my kids were little that they actually really loved and played with that I will never get rid of. And, you know, I think at this point, I'm starting to think ahead, like, I've got a couple of high schoolers. It's very real possibility within the next 5 to 10 years, I could have grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So I don't really want to get rid of these really cool toys. And then they need them for their kids because it is kind of fun to whip out something and be like, I played with this when I was little. I do have some little fake food things that were such better quality than what garbage is put out now that my kids play with. and they still work too. So it's kind of fun.
Well, and I have my mom's high chair. Like, how do you store that? You know, a high chair from 1948, you know, and that's so hard to, well, how do you put that in a place that it won't get ruined? That's an appropriate place when you don't have babies, you know, and I have, my grandmother built me a dollhouse that's like waist high. So, you know, 36 inches tall or so. That's a big dollhouse. It opens on three sides. And, you know, of course, kids like your daughter love to come play with it and stuff. And that always brings me joy. But you're like, how do you store that? How do you put that in a place that's appropriate, that's put away, you know, in that in between place, that purgatory of places that will be safe for the item, but not long term storage, because you never know what's safe there and not in your face every day. So those are hard things. Yeah.
And we have, so the bottom line is, if you're listening, we are not your girls to tell you to get rid of all this stuff. We are the girls that will tell you to keep it all just in case.
Right. We will commiserate with you and probably help you with your addiction.
Yeah. Well, and you're so right though, with homeschool stuff, you know, I've got a huge age gap between my youngest two children. I'm going to need to keep this stuff because I'd hate to rebuy a really good quality product that I've already purchased and spent, you know, the money on the first time, because I don't really feel like that would be a good steward of my stuff either, to just get rid of it or donate it or whatever. But so I don't know how to manage the stuff other than buy more bookshelves, and, you know, any space can be turned into a bookshelf. We actually had a closet in our old house that we lived in. It was like 1200 square foot house. And we had a linen closet that was just, you know, bookshelf deep. It was very, very small closet in our hallway. So we just took the door off, painted it, and made it another bookshelf, like a built-in. And, you know, we found the space to make for more books to be held. And it was just fun. Decorate with books. Then you don't have to decorate with other, you know, knick-knacky things.
Absolutely. Yeah. My son, my older one, has an inset bookshelf in his room, and he has knickknack things on it. But then by his bedroom door, he has piles of books, which make absolutely no sense whatsoever. And, you know, what does it do to gritch at him about it? Absolutely nothing. He's like, Mom, that's where I want them. That's decoration. They're just going to lay there and collect dust, you know, whatever. So anyway, if anyone has storage solutions that work really, really well for all of these purgatory items, send us an email and let us know, or, you know, send us a message on Facebook or something and tell us what that is. Cause we're looking, we need all the help we can get with it.
Or, you know, I'm always on the hunt for good, clear bins. I know Costco's got some, but some really solid clear bins, because if I'm a visual person, if I don't see what's in the bin, I don't know what's in the bin unless I grab it, dig it out from storage. You know, even with a label maker, I would really like to see what's inside it at a glance. So I'm always on the hunt for that. And then my other issue is too, because I've had multiple students at the same time, I just shove all their stuff together in the same bin for the year. So at some point I'm going to have to sort all of that out.
Well, and I do that too. I have a little Target cardboard file drawer thing that has, you know, the manila folders in it that have months of the year on each manila folder. And so when my children have loose leaf paper, then, you know, whether it be from a workbook or what have you, whenever they've ripped out a page, spelling words or whatever, then, you know, they always want to, I always ask them to put their name and the date on it and then put it in that month in the file folder. And so at the end of the year, then I can, that's what I pluck from and I clean that out and make their binder with it. But that's a nice little thing to have setting aside, and, but it's not great. You know, it's just kind of a, you know, it's just what we've done. So I haven't come up with anything better. And so we've just kept doing that. But
yeah, I agree. That system has worked really well. We have used that where we have the manila envelopes for each month. And then, or actually I've done it by week. So 52 folders in a file. And then each week, whenever they're done with their worksheets, we just put them in the correct folder. And then I don't have to sort the paperwork later. It makes it easy when I'm trying to keep records. That's been a really huge blessing for us.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Cause we've talked about like book storage and bigger item storage, you know, like where do you stick your globe, or, you know, on the top of the bookshelf. But the paper. There's so much paper.
So much paper. We should just have a bonfire at the end of the year. And but then I'd feel guilty. There's no answer.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we moved a couple of years ago, I did actually go through and find, you know, kind of like taxes, they say keep them for 7 years. So I went back and got rid of some of the first years of our homeschooling, you know, workbooks and things for kindergarten, pulled out a few of our favorite things or the kids' projects or some things they've done, and only kept a handful of things. I probably should do that again because we are running out of storage space pretty quickly with all the kids and all their stuff. But
you've got that nice big storage room in your basement, though. Just load that up with clear tub.
You can help me. So, all right. So we've touched on storage. That's a huge component to our homeschool lifestyle. How do you manage all the stuff? We don't really know. We just do our best. And I think that you'll find that too. You know, there's a lot of really cool Pinterest profiles of people whose houses look like they're straight out of a magazine. You know, that's probably the reality for that one picture. But as soon as you turn the camera around, there's all the clutter, you know, like that Monica's closet of junk. I think we both really just want to be real with you too. There's not a perfect system. There is a system that works for your family and that is perfect for you. And maybe that perfection looks like clutter. Who knows? Right. And as long as you're welcome to live in that and you feel like you're, you know, not stressed about it, I think that's the biggest thing to remember. I know for myself, I have a threshold. Like I can deal with so many piles or whatever, but then probably quarterly, I go through the house and declutter those things or sort things or put them where they need to go. And that's just how we live our life. It's not going to be picture ready or, you know, guest ready at the drop of the hat. There will be some frantic cleaning if you say you're coming over unannounced, Amanda, or announced very shortly.
There better not be. I could come into your house and have clutter everywhere and it doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah. Well, maybe not you, but you, I don't know. I
feel like we all know those though. We all know those people. Yes. I have a few people in my family that when they come over, they will make comments, like snide comments about clutter or cobwebs or something. And then, you know, I'm just the stubborn type of person that I can never clean it up then. So, you know, someone, not mentioning any names, visited recently and complained about me having too many coffee cups. Well, now I can't get rid of any of my coffee cups for the rest of my life because they complained that I have too many.
Oh, and now I have a gift idea for you. Why are we like this?
Right, I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, goodness. Well, yeah. So ladies, accept where you're at in life. Sometimes there's stages where you get to it and sometimes there's stages where you just don't. And that's totally fine. There's no reason that we need to all be on Instagram with, you know, totally decluttered homes. This is not real life.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the anthem of our song. Clutter is our mess. We're proud of it. I don't know. All right. So switching gears, I love field trips, as you may or may not know. So I've planned a ton of field trips and I think it's really easy to do if you want to do it. You know, I think there's some intimidation if you're not the type of person to like to just cold call people and ask for information, because some places that you might want to go, you check out the website and they say, here's our phone number, call for more details on scheduling, whatever you want to do. And so that might require you to get out of your shell a little bit and make a phone call or leave a message with someone. But in my experience,
I always look for an email address. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I want that in writing. And so I don't forget what they said and I don't want notes everywhere. And I want an email. Absolutely. I'll have an email chain.
Do you think that you would not schedule a field trip somewhere if you had to make a phone call?
Correct.
Okay.
I would avoid it at all costs. Well, at most costs. If my children really wanted to go, then I would probably do it, because I would, you know, I'm one of those parents. Like I'll go out of my shell and out of my comfort zone if my kids really wanted to do something. But generally speaking, if it's a field trip I want to do and there's not an email listed, I'm just not going to go.
That's so funny. We all have our thresholds, right? Yeah. I didn't like at first calling some places because I do get a little bit shy on the phone and I wanted to make sure that I wasn't sounding like I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I feel like with homeschoolers calling to schedule an official field trip with a group or organization, I just felt at first very intimidated. Like they might look at us like, oh, this is a homeschool mom, you know,
right?
She doesn't have a clue. But I've never experienced any kind of snark or, you know, nose usually turning.
They'll bend over backwards. They love it.
Yeah. That's really been my experience. Mm-hmm. So, okay. On the field trips that you have found an email for and you've scheduled, what would you say has been your favorite field trip to plan or to go on or to have that experience?
I really like museums. Mm-hmm. And going to museums. And when you have a field trip schedule, like if you're scheduling a group of kids, then the museum concierge person, they'll bend over backwards for the group. So you might even get access to things in the museum that you wouldn't normally have if you went on your own. And mm-hmm. you get discounted things and free tickets for other times. Every time I've gone to this one particular museum, they would hand me a stack of free tickets just to give out to the families because they want you to come back. So they did, you know, heavily discount the tickets to get there the first time. And then they give you free ones to get there the second time. And then they give you access to the entire building. Whereas if you went just as your family, you end up being able to see one thing or maybe two things, but be having access to all of it and having more time in all of it. I think it's just wonderful. You know, that's probably my favorite. Mm-hmm. And it's educational. And so it counts for all of those things. And my family just tends to kind of gravitate towards the educational field trips. So mm-hmm. we have traveled kind of tri-state area or maybe even quad state area of different. And whenever we have traveled, we've gone and found museums, and they've always been a delight to go. And people make fun of us because that's so educational. Why don't you go to, like, you know,
Six Flags or.
Right. Yeah. You know, or all these roller coaster places and stuff. And it's just not my jam. You know, when we have sensory issues and we have food issues and all of that, you know, going to those sorts of places, it's not what's there to do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So I guess first off, if you're wanting to plan a field trip, a good thing to know is usually the group size is 10 to 15 people minimum. So even if you and your family just want to go, you don't have to be a part of a group to be able to plan a field trip or outing as a group discount. You can just gather like three other families and say, hey, would you like to come on this date? And then you work with the coordinator, and then they can keep the money. Like if you want to just pay, if they require a payment ahead of time, mm-hmm. you get the money from your friends ahead of time, and then you just put the bulk payment down, or you reserve with like a fee to reserve it and then pay the rest of it when you get there. So don't feel like if you want to go on a more organized field trip with your family, that it has to be some huge event that you've got like a ton of back work to do, because really it's very simple. Like Amanda said, sometimes you can just look at the place that you want to go, look at their group rates, call the number or email the form that they have that's pre, you know, all the things, you just check the boxes that you want. And then you work one-on-one with the person who's coordinating the field trips on their end. So we've been able to do quite a bit, even as just a small handful of people. I actually went last week to the Kauffman Center of Performing Arts in Kansas City, and very quickly just put an application in for some tickets. And then I just had to call and leave a payment over the phone for a handful of people. And there was no minimum with that field trip as far as how many kids or adults had to be there. Another perk of scheduling your own field trips is a lot of times it'll say like 10 participants with one adult free. So if you're on a budget and you don't want to spend, you know, a ton of money going to have all these experiences with your kids, if you volunteer as a coordinator, a lot of times I would get free tickets for myself or at least one of my other children mm-hmm. and make that trip very, very affordable, like $10 to $15 maybe to go for a full day of a tour and, you know, whatever we were going to do at the field trip, the hands-on experiences or whatever. So
yeah. It's easy to do.
It is. Yeah. So I also have had experience doing larger group activities through our homeschool group. And if you have a co-op, you know, you might have more leverage because you could maybe get a greater discount with more people, you know, 35 or plus people. I find for myself, being more introverted, I could usually handle field trips that have about 10 families because that's generally about 20 to 30 kids at that field trip. And that's kind of my threshold because I have to take into consideration my own children too. Mm-hmm. And when you are the coordinator, that some of the, I would say the cons of that are that you usually have to show up first. usually need to make a list of who's going to be there so that you can make sure everybody's paid and deal with some of the questions the day of. So I know sometimes it does get a little stressful if people have a lot of questions as you're trying to get your kids out the door too. So I had to set some boundaries pretty early on when I realized how stressed I was at these field trips that, you know, if I've already answered a question in an email, I'm just not going to respond to the text message of the person with the question I've already answered because it's a waste of my time and my children's time. And that sounds so mean, but you know, you have to have boundaries and know your limits. And if you've already extended yourself to be the person setting up the field trip and doing all the behind the scenes to make this event happen for other families, then I think it's a good show of respect to not waste the person who's planning's time.
Right.
And read all the material that they give you everything. So that you don't have questions.
Yep.
We've commiserated about that a couple of times.
We have, yes. But you know, there are people that you're planning for when they're coming and they want to help. So there's a lot of helpers too. I mean, there's a lot of takers, but there's a lot of helpers. Yeah. You know, they might not be people that want to coordinate or that are able to coordinate for whatever reason, but they do want to be helpful. And so I've had that too. And we can tap into them. And it's okay. We don't have to put all of that on our shoulders as the coordinator. You know, if someone else wants to take your list and make sure everyone's there, great.
Absolutely.
And make sure everyone gets tickets or whatever, then yeah. So there's, you know, it's a group effort too.
I've had a couple of field trips that I've planned too, where there was such interest that I needed to schedule a second time slot or maybe on a different day. And then at that point you reach out to your group and say, hey, who could be the point person for this field trip? And that's been fantastic too. Mm-hmm. So I highly encourage you, if you've thought about maybe stepping out there, maybe you've been doing this for a bit and not really coordinated, but there's some things that your kids have been asking to do that haven't been put out there by any other people. Look within your smaller group and say, you know, would you like to do this with me? And I'm sure you'll find someone who's probably had that list of activities on their mind as well. And maybe you can work together this summer too. Make it a memorable time for you and your kids planning some field trips.
Yeah, that's good.
Excellent. Well, if you have any other questions about planning field trips, I love doing them and I love talking about them. So I would love to answer any of your questions. You can reach us at goathomeschoolingpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram, Goat Homeschooling with Erin and Amanda. We've got a Facebook page and a group that you could join, and we encourage you to do both so you can join in the conversation. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you'll subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you'd like to suggest topics for us to discuss, or if you have any questions, find us at Goat Homeschooling on Facebook, on Instagram at Goat Homeschool, and email us at goathomeschoolingpodcast@gmail.com. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.